Hello and welcome. I'm Kate Longazel, and this is the fourth episode of Loving with Autism. Loving with Autism is brought to you by Unipi, a social media and dating site for people on the autism spectrum. Loving with Autism was started because we want to have a conversation about how we get from that first message to the first kiss and everywhere in between. Today, we're going to be talking about personal appearance. Today's guest is autism consultant Rebecca McKee. Rebecca, hi, how are you?
Hi.
So, personal appearance, how would you define it specifically? Would you define it on how you look, or does it extend to your personality?
So, the way I think of appearance is more in terms of your style and the what you like to project out to other people. That's how I would define it. Appearance usually solely has to do with physical, right? So, but it's not just our skin and our eyes and our nose. It can be how we dress and how we do our hair and how we carry ourselves. And then it morphs into things that we like, what music we like. That all kind of melds into our appearance.
Right. I would agree with you totally. When I hear like personal appearance, when like the first thing that I think of, I would automatically think. I think we're like kind of trained to think in this day and age with Instagrams and all that kind of stuff about the physical. But you're right, it's so much more than that. It's how you come across to others, what you project outward.
Exactly, exactly. And also, I think the term style kind of has to go interchangeably with appearance. Your appearance is your style, it goes together.
Mm-hmm. True. So what's like the first thing that you would look at when you're, you know, kind of, I don't know, checking out another person, or like, what do you look for in the other person first, right off the bat?
What do I look for in the other person first is usually, I kind of do notice their outfit. Like if it's a cool outfit, if I think, and cool is subjective,
right.
I like it, you know? So if I see a guy who has on like who can carry jeans, t-shirt and Converse sneakers, I'm totally into it.
Right.
But that's my personal preference. It's kind of how someone can carry their outfit, the way that their hair looks and how they kind of, from head to toe, appearance has to do with head to toe. So that's something important to remember if you're not always checking yourself out. You kind of have to start at the head and go all the way down and do I like the way that I look?
Right. That's so key. And I feel like if someone likes the way that they look, then they project that confidence outward, and that makes it that much more attractive or appealing to someone else. Like I might not, or like you might see somebody who's not necessarily in your usual outfit with like the t-shirt, jeans, Converse, but they're so confident about the way that they look and who they are that there's something attractive about that as well.
Right. It's almost like that saying, you're comfortable in your own skin. What does that mean? It means that you feel good about yourself and you think you look good when you're leaving your home. And so when you're out there in the world, you still feel like, okay, I feel comfortable in my own skin.
Totally. I feel like sometimes when I don't, like if I don't put that extra effort in and like, you know, do my hair and you know, wear my makeup the way that I kind of feel most confident in and the style that I like, I can head out the door and feel one type of way and present one thing. And if I don't do all that, if I don't, you know, have the time to kind of dress the way that I know that I'm most comfortable, I don't think I feel the same way and project the same things.
You know, that's a good point that you just said about how when you check yourself out, and just from years of working with people who have some form of autism spectrum disorder, using a mirror is not second nature to them. How we neurotypical people, we constantly are looking in the mirror and we, you know, are checking ourselves out because we're projecting an image to this to society. Someone who's on the spectrum, it's something really important to remember, number one, to have a mirror and to use a mirror. So just like you just said, you check yourself out. A great tip would be to have a floor length mirror right by your front door. So when you walk out, you give yourself one last glimpse and, you know, how do I look?
Totally. I have that. I have that floor length mirror. That's so important to just make sure that everything is okay. Or, I mean, not okay, but that you feel your best self when you're leaving your home.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I also think, too, that people each have a style. And that kind of starts when you're in high school. You decide if you're going to be, like, preppy, or you're going to be punk rock, or you're going to be athletic, and that kind of dictates what kind of clothes you're going to wear, and that can change over time. I mean, with how you dress when you were 16 might change by the time you're 30. Of course, you hope so.
Right.
So it's kind of fluid, your style. You know, kind of moves with you as you move through your life. But having a, you know. Sometimes people who are on the spectrum, they may feel like they're not part of a group, but choosing a style is an easy way to become part of like an abstract group.
Great,
you know?
Point. Totally.
Right. Like I'm preppy, so I'm not really preppy, but I'm just using an example. Right. I'm preppy, so I would say I'm a prep, and now I'm part of like the prep community. So that's something too, to kind of pick what style you prefer.
Right. It's almost kind of like if someone is like a Yankees fan and they have like a Yankees hat, then they automatically would belong to that community with fellow fans of that sport or that team allegiance. So then you're already like showing, you know, who you are. Hey, that's a fellow Yankees fan. I can talk to them about this thing that I know about. And instantly, you know, you make yourself available for a friendship or a relationship with someone else.
Exactly.
In the same way that preppy thing, like you're showing that outward, so then that person can say, hey, I know something about that style. That's something I'm familiar with. We already have something in common.
Exactly. And it kind of, you can, I mean, how many times do we see like a baseball hat? And, you know, I'm originally from Philadelphia, so if I see someone in New York with a Phillies hat, I'm automatically going to say, oh, are you from Philadelphia? It kind of starts
right off
the conversation.
Exactly.
Right. So I think that getting to know yourself and what you prefer and what style you like is the first thing you really have to do, is figure out, like, what am I about? What are some things I like? And I know that an easy way to do that is magazines, you know, looking through magazines or going online and looking through Instagram. Like, what are outfits? Mm. What are styles that I think look good?
Right. Or, like, things that look like, you know, who I am or who I want to be. I have like a whole Pinterest board of things that I would love to wear one day. And I don't know why I'm like intimidated to shift styles. I think, like you said before, when you're choosing your personal style, sometimes in high school or sometimes in college or whenever that period of time is that you decide, hey, this is who I'm going to be. As you're growing up, you shed some of those styles that were more comfortable, and you start shifting into something different, or maybe you don't ever shift. And I still have things in my closet from when I was in high school, so
totally.
I might need to start shifting.
Totally, I still hang on to those things. And I remember, and I try to get teenagers who are on the spectrum to kind of do this a little bit. I provide them the story. I remember when I was like 16, I guess, I had Cosmopolitan, and on the cover was Paulina Porsakova. I might be saying her name wrong.
Right.
And she was so beautiful, and I loved like her hair and her makeup. And I literally stood in front of my mirror, and I did my makeup and my hair just like her. Mm. And I thought, oh, this is something that I like. I think I'm going to start looking like this for a while because I like it. So having like a visual, something to copy or mimic, and then you kind of make it your own, will help you.
Mm-hmm. Great point. Do you think, speaking of personal style and, you know, trying to mimic these things, how do you think going to the gym counts towards your personal appearance, or does it only go towards like grooming or clothing, or would you say like physical activity, or?
No, I think it definitely starts with, you know, you have to feel good inside and outside. So also too, I think that, the whole other topic is the benefits of exercise on mental health and everything else.
Right.
But as far as physical benefits, like your body, a lot of times, and everyone struggles with this, they might, you know, want to wear something, or it's in their closet, or just, you know, part of their wardrobe, and they can't because, you know, right now they're not feeling their best physically. So going to the gym or exercising or doing some sort of physical activity, it has to be like designated exercise time. So not, you know, well, I walked to the subway on my way to work. Mm-mm, that's walking to work. When designated exercise time, and it's very good because it's going to make you feel good about your body. It's going to make you feel better in your clothing. And then you're going to be a happier person and more likely to be chit-chatty with other people and socialize.
Right. And just, I feel like sometimes when I designate that time and I get it done and I check that thing off the list, I feel so accomplished and just proud of the fact that I, you know, I don't know, like that I made the commitment to myself to do something for myself and that I actually did it. And that alone, like how you were saying, like the, mental health benefits of exercising too. That alone gives you the confidence that like, hey, I did this thing. I got it done. I did it for myself. And I just come out feeling more confident just because I went.
Exactly.
Or designated that time.
Exactly. And I know that, I mean, obviously we're two women and we're talking about it. I mean, it doesn't really matter what gender you are, but as far as guys go, I think that, you know, they can play around with so many different things with their style too. Like, do they want to grow a beard? Do they want to have longer hair? Do they want to have short hair? And one of the traits of someone who is on the spectrum, and it, you know, not necessarily stereotyping, but something that is a pretty strong trait, is that they love watching movies and videos, any kind of video, TV, movies, they love it. And that's a great place to look at your favorite actors or your favorite athletes or your favorite singers and like pick out what you like about them and how they like put on their sunglasses and how they wear a hat and if they have facial hair and how long it is. I mean, it's a great reference point to pick from while you are watching videos.
Totally. I feel like guys specifically, like their inspiration is probably more like less Pinterest and less like, let me go seek out this outfit, and probably more, you know, what they see on TV, media, movies, like, you know.
Right.
And how they upkeep their look. It's also, too, like, long hair, short hair. I think that those things, like, for guys, like, it says a lot about a man, like, for a woman to see a man with short hair and clean shaven, it says something different than someone with, like, a longer hair look and maybe they have more, you know, facial hair that requires more upkeep daily to trim it and make sure that it's in this certain style and this certain way. It might mean that maybe they're more, I don't know, like they have more rigidity every morning to take care of that specific look,
right,
or that specific,
okay,
style.
Right. And also, too, I think that when I see someone look a certain way, so if I see a guy who has a beard and a little bit of longer hair and he's wearing jeans and like a flannel, I may think, oh, he's a musician, he's an artist, he's something in that realm. So another, you know, tip is to look at your interests. Like, what are your interests? What hobbies do you do? Do you play the guitar? Do you paint? Are you an avid reader? And kind of look at people that you admire in that field and kind of see, what are people like styled like? What do they look like? What does a writer look like to other people? I'm a writer, so I should, you know, present myself
as a writer.
That can,
exactly,
dictate my style.
Wow, that's so true. Like, look to the interest. That's a great tip for choosing personal style. Do you feel any? Okay, so along with personal style, I would say, and how you present yourself, is communicating with others. And I think for me, like, a big turnoff would be cursing when I meet someone and they're very freely using curse words or foul language constantly. For me, that would, you know, be a turnoff. What would you think? What would you have to say about cursing and how it defines your personal style?
Right. So, when I cursing is one of, it's not a complete negative to me, but if someone is casually cursing many times in just a couple sentences, in my opinion, it means like they have like vocabulary retrieval problems. They cannot figure out the right words to say.
Right.
And that's a turnoff. You know, I like some, you know, that's just a turnoff for me, but other people may think it's funny.
Right.
Other people may think it's, oh, it's no big deal. It's just casual and I'm okay with it. But I do think that when you first are meeting someone or dating someone, or especially first dates, just like you want to keep yourself clean, your body, you want to, you know, present your best self, you also want to keep the words coming out of your mouth clean. You know, you're not throwing out any obscenities or, you know, political jokes that are too much, too over the top. You know, you want to keep everything kind of like vanilla, you know, very like clean and okay for everyone to hear.
Right. I would agree with that. You don't want to offend someone right off the bat before they have a chance to really get to know you. It's kind of like, for me, cursing can kind of, or like overly using curse words way too much in the beginning, for me, like, kind of puts a wall up, and I'm like, I can't get beyond that. So,
right.
And it's also like different ways of speaking with family and friends. Like, you, maybe when you get to a certain level with certain friends or family members, you can talk like that. You can get to those other things, like those political jokes. If you've already found like somebody along the way has your same frame of mind, and then eventually you guys can joke like that. But like, once you get past that vanilla and you start diving into like more flavors, maybe.
Exactly.
But what would you say, like, talking to friends and family versus people at work and first meetings versus, you know, creating relationships with someone as the further you go?
Right. Well, what's very easy when you do not have autism, what's very easy is picking up, we can walk into a party, you know, like us neurotypical people who are not on the spectrum, we can walk into a party and pick and kind of gauge someone's personality and their level of humor and comfort pretty quickly. You know, we're very lucky that we're able to do that. So my suggestion is that if you are on the spectrum and you do struggle with reading those social cues and you're not really kind of able to pick up other people's perspective and their sarcasm, I would keep it vanilla until you really get to know someone. And I know that a lot of people, you know, who are on the spectrum will say, well, I really offend people a lot. And I don't mean it, just the things that come out of my mouth. And so a suggestion is just to kind of keep everything very clean and clear until you become very close with someone. You have it's your best friend or a very good friend, or you've been dating someone for an extended period of time. But everyone else, you know, and unless you become an expert at reading social cues, which you may never become an expert in that, and that's okay, I would keep it, you know, better to be safe than sorry.
Right, exactly. Agreed.
Yeah.
Let's say it's a traditional dinner and or bar date. How would you dress for that occasion?
Okay, so like a traditional dinner or bar date.
Right.
So, number one, clean, right? You want your clothes to be freshly laundered. You know, you want them to be, you know, you haven't worn them yesterday and they don't have, like, spilled ketchup on your shirt. You don't want that. So clean is number one. But a bar date or just like a, you know, a kind of a casual restaurant, you can get away with jeans and a nice shirt. You can get away. Let's go with girls first.
Okay.
People who identify as females. You can go with jeans and a nice shirt. You can get away with a nice dress. Doesn't have, not a dress you would wear to a wedding or to a prom, but a dress you would wear on a summer day, or a dress you might wear to work. You could also get away with a skirt and a sweater. There's lots of options. And that's a great way to, you know, if you browse Instagram or Pinterest or a magazine, you can kind of pick out, and even if you just Google casual date outfit, you're going to have tons of, you know, visuals pop up that you can kind of mimic.
Right. And I also think the venue, too, like if you know the venue that you're going to, that could inform you as to, you know, what you would choose to wear as well. So it's nice to know the venue before you know. And sometimes you don't know the venue, so it's better to probably play it safe with what you're going to wear if you don't know the venue.
Right.
But if you do know the venue, I feel like it makes it so much easier. And it's okay to ask the venue and decide on
right.
the venue and Google the venue.
Right, so much easier. I remember this summer, I thought I was going on a date, and I thought we were going to dinner. So I had kind of on, like, a summer dress and, like, sandals, but it was, like, nice. And we ended up going to this, like, club. I was not dressed for this club because everyone there had on, like, stiletto heels. And, like,
man.
I'm like, oh, my gosh, I so don't fit in here. And best case scenario, this is always easy, is black. Especially, it's just so easy to wear all black. You're going to blend
true.
In anywhere.
Yes, totally. And I think for men, too, black. I think a black shirt and jeans, like, you could dress, that could be a dressed up thing, that could be a dressed down thing. If it's
right.
a nice pair of jeans that's, you know, comfortable, but maybe a slightly darker wash so that it has a more dressed up feel, and
right.
and a black V-neck t-shirt, I mean, you really can't go too wrong there.
Right. If a guy has on, like, nice black jeans, and he can even put, like, a blazer with that, and,
oh,
like,
of course, dress
he
that
would
up.
Look, yeah, that would look great. Like, black jeans do work well with a guy. Right. For a guy, you just have to kind of know that, like, you know, if you wear khakis are for daytime or dinner or places where you're going to sit outside or the movies. But if you're going to, like, a dance club, you'll probably be the only one in there who was wearing khakis. So you maybe want to wear jeans.
Exactly.
Right.
I feel like guys, it can be really tricky to go from work to a casual date if they want to go out to that club setting, unless they feel comfortable or changing into jeans, or if they can wear jeans to work. And they're not, like, going to work in khakis. But I guess, like, a navy blue kind of khaki pant could transition if you're someone in the office world and then you're going to, like, a nightclub-y night out.
Right. Right. There's for people who are listening, if you just Google, like, office to night outfits or day to night outfits, and you just put in man or woman,
right.
you'll come up with some possibilities. And That's what many people in society do. They look, they get references, they look and get information from other people. So that's something that people who are venturing into the dating world, that you should also do that. Like,
reference others.
Other sources out there, people that know a lot more than we do.
Right. And I even have, like, reference people that I run by. I don't know if you have. Like, I always, like, FaceTime or Skype my sister and get her opinion, because she's someone that I look to, that I like her personal style, and I feel like she knows me and she understands me and what I want to project out to the world, and so she can, like, help me kind of figure that out. Sometimes I get lost, and she'll help me,
right,
like,
exactly. No, but exactly.
Things.
Just take a selfie and send it off to someone.
Right. It's good to have, like, a point person for style.
Exactly.
Do you think your personal opinion of yourself translates to how other people see you? Big question.
I'm giggling because, well, so I was blessed with a family that gave me, like, really high self-esteem.
That's
so
great.
That's a good one. That's a good starting point. So a lot of times my friends or my other people that I know, they don't always see things as wonderfully as I see it. But I think that I can translate that to someone who is also on the spectrum. That a lot of times we see ourselves a certain way. You know, we think we're okay. And that's an egocentric trait. Like, oh, we're fine. We're good. it's okay to kind of listen to other people and hear some constructive criticism. Even if you don't always agree to it, you don't always follow it, it's still okay to listen to it and maybe change something slightly. You know, okay, let me try it out. Let me be a little flexible.
Mm-hmm. It's so hard to hear sometimes, though.
It is. It is. And you know what? Again, this has to do, too, with levels of friendship and levels of closeness, because, you know, your sisters or your brothers can say something to you and you can just be like, whatever, you know, and your very, very, very best friends can say something to you and you're like, you know, it just goes right off of you. And then other people who are like not so close to you, maybe a coworker or someone who's like an acquaintance, you're like, oh, your feelings might get hurt a little bit. But understanding that many people look at you every day. People look at you. They're looking you up and down, and it might not be in a judging manner. They're just maybe taking in what you look like, appreciating it, maybe critiquing it. Who knows? But you just kind of have to be open to that is what happens when you're around other people. When you socialize with other people, it's natural to kind of critique them in our heads. And then sometimes, if you're close enough, you can make a comment.
So I think we should get to some helpful tips and tricks that we can, think about when we're dealing with personal appearance. It's crazy to think that 2017 is like coming to a close now.
Right.
It went by so fast, but, I know resolutions are coming up and, kind of like talking about how we want to present ourselves outward. Sometimes people want to shift that presentation a little bit. And I think that like New Year's and resolutions is the perfect time to kind of do that because everyone is in a kind of, let's all change for the better, or let's make moves if you want to change something about yourself. So what would you say are some like helpful tips and tricks? I would definitely say, yes, make sure to leave enough time to shower and change your clothes, before a date. Or if
Absolutely.
You have something big coming up.
Right. Right. I like to keep things like, it's easy for us to remember if we have like a number, like a five, you know, if we think of five tips and then we can, you know, give ourselves a high five when we do these things. Like, so
right.
If I was narrowing it down to like five tips that someone can remember on their one hand before they're about to go out on a date.
Wonderful.
Number one is get yourself clean, right? Shower, you know, brush your teeth, do all that stuff. Make sure you look sparkling clean. Number two is make sure you have a very clean outfit,
mm-hmm.
okay, like something that was just freshly washed. Number three has to go with your style. Develop your style. So put your outfit together and style your hair and manicure your beard and paint your nails, having to do with your style. So
mm-hmm.
that style development is ongoing. So you're going to be flexible. You're going to have an ongoing style choices, and you're going to be able to monitor your style choices. That's number three.
Mm-hmm.
And number four is to kind of critique yourself. Look yourself in the mirror. Have a mirror by the front door. Look at yourself and say, do I like this? Do I look okay? And I would say the fifth thing is to make sure that you use resources. Don't just go from what you think looks good on you. Look at magazines. Look at Instagram. Look at Google things. Take a selfie and ask someone. Use the resources that are around you to kind of help you monitor that. So those are those five tips I would say to do.
I think those are awesome tips, and I love that you have five of them so that we can, you know, check them off finger by finger on one hand. That's
right,
perfect.
Right, right.
So thank you so much, Rebecca, for helping us with personal appearance today and giving us those tips and telling us a little bit about your personal style and how you came up with it. Working on yourself and your personal appearance is something that will always take fine-tuning. It's an ongoing thing. We hope that today you got some of the basics on how to work on your personal appearance. Thank you so much for joining us for our podcast today. We'd like to thank our guest today, autism consultant Rebecca McKee. Thank you so much for all your helpful tips and sharing about your own personal style. We'd also like to thank our scriptwriter, Michael Jude, and UniPi founder and creator Thomas Scheel for giving us a platform on which to chat about all these things. If you enjoyed our podcast and our tips today that you received, you can sign up for your own personal coaching package through unipi.com. That's UNEEPI.com. And feel free to follow us on all your social media platforms. Thanks. We'd like to thank Rebecca McKee. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you talking with us today and sharing all your advice and your stories. And we'd like to thank Mike Jude, our scriptwriter, for today's episode, and UniPi founder and creator Thomas Scheel, for giving us a platform to talk about these things. Please join UniPi at unipi.com and listen to all the episodes of Loving with Autism. I'm Kate Longazel, and we hope you have an awesome day. Thank you so much.